Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. He knows who built
Stonehenge. All right, welcome back in. Price Atkinson here on Straight Up with Sturge. No, it is not Mark Sturgis. He will be back in the saddle next Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget, next Thursday and Friday, Sturge and I, we will be up in Charlotte at ACC football kickoff. Of course, obviously, Monday SEC media days starting down at the Winfrey in Hoover. Real quick, we'll give you the schedule for next week in Hoover as we're going to be joined by Danny Sheridan, USA Today sports handicapper, here in just a second. Coming up on Monday down in Hoover, Arkansas, LSU, and Tennessee. Then on Tuesday, we'll have Georgia, Vanderbilt, and then in the afternoon, Mississippi State and Florida. On Wednesday, we will have Alabama, Missouri, Texas A&M, and Kentucky. And then on Thursday, the final day, things will wrap up with three teams hitting the ballroom when the South Carolina Gamecocks, Will Muschamp, Jake Bentley, Hayden Hurst, and Debo Samuel. They will talk with the media. Also, Ole Miss and Auburn will be on tap. So I think we got our man Danny Sheridan on the phone. Before we go to Danny, we're going to do Danny his justice. He knows who built Stonehenge. He even knows their names. He swam with the Loch Ness Monster. Danced with Bigfoot in the rain. The great Danny Sheridan. Danny, we had to do our due diligence and make sure you get the kind of intro that you deserve. How's it going, my friend?
Well, if you gave me what I deserved, it'd be R-rated, I'm sure, but that was very kind of you, Bryce.
All right, we got our man Danny Sheridan, a good friend, USA Today handicapper and sports analyst. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at DannySheridan1. Danny, let's not delay any longer. Talking season, it's upon us. College football just around the corner. I know you'll be down there in Hoover next week making the rounds, but you picked Clemson to beat Alabama in the last two national championship games simply due to Deshaun Watson, and I know you've got Alabama and Ohio State as your two favorites to win the national championship this year. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Give us your national championship odds for the 2017 college football season.
Well, while I don't have Clemson in my top six or seven, mm-hmm. because they've lost Watson and sure. a lot of talent, nothing Dabo Sweeney does will surprise me. Really strengthen that program, and it's just going to get better and better. And every year you hear about Alabama, well, you're going to hear about Clemson. I'll be shocked if Clemson's not a top 10 or a top 5 team, say, the next 4 years in a row. And that's let's don't forget Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. They're also a pretty good program. And Louisville the same. So the ACC is more than holding its own. But when I compare, and I'm not answering your question, I'll get back to mm-hmm. it, but comparing the ACC to the SEC, a lot of top-heavy, yeah, ACC is pretty strong. But if you talk about the whole conference, it's really tough. It's a minefield in the SEC. And I think SEC is the best conference out there, and the ACC is like 1A. Mm-hmm. But back to your question, it would be, of course, Alabama and Ohio State. They have the best schedule, the best teams, to give them a chance to win 11 or 12 games. And I would say right behind them would have to be Florida State. And then you'd have a little drop-off, Oklahoma, Southern Cal, and that's not to rule out Florida State, Louisville, Penn State. It'd be a real tough year, and it's going to be a real, and I say competitive year. Alabama and Ohio State are very good, but they're not heads and shoulders above everybody entering the season, like most people mm-hmm. think they are.
All right, so we're talking with Danny Sheridan. Of course, you can check out his website, DannySheridan.com. Let's start in the SEC. That's the best conference in the country, although Phil Steele, I guess, according to today in his article on ESPN.com, would disagree, where he calls the ACC now the best conference in the country. But let's start in the SEC. I know you like Alabama. I know you've been a little bit critical of Auburn, not so much critical, but just basically saying you see three losses on Auburn's schedule this year. Who behind Alabama is going to challenge the Tide in Atlanta?
Well, let's talk about Auburn for a second.
Okay.
Last year, 2 years and 3 years ago, when everyone said they were like, I think they were picked to win the West and mm-hmm. be in the Final Four, I got lucky and said Auburn would lose three or four games the last, say, 3 years ago and mm-hmm. 4 years ago. Last year, when everybody said Auburn would be horrible, they'd be 5-7 or 6-6. I said they'd win at least nine games. They won eight because White was injured. Their quarterback was injured. This year, and I'm not just being a contrarian, I've been really lucky on Auburn based on their schedule. Yeah, they look like they got a really good team on paper, especially with Stidham at quarterback. But with that schedule, I see them losing again three games. And it's not a knock on them. You got to beat Alabama. You got to go to Clemson. You got to go to LSU. And there's a couple of minefields in the middle. So that's the way I see Auburn. They do have a good team, but hey, they play in the SEC, and you're probably going to have a situation where Florida State, Clemson, and Louisville would be like the SEC in the sense that they'll take turns knocking each other off this year, and you'll probably have, and you do have a Miami or someone like that that could upset either one of those three teams. So that's my take on Auburn, and of course the SEC price. Alabama, clear favorite, no surprise there. You have a I guess you'd have to say I like LSU next. I don't like Auburn next. I think LSU's a little bit better, and I like their schedule. Georgia, Florida, I like Florida. I picked Florida 2 years in a row, and I really felt good about them last year. And this year, I just think they're a better team than Georgia, and I think they'll, again, I think they'll win the East. A surprise team that you probably would ask me anyway would be mm-hmm. Kentucky. I think Kentucky's going to upset Tennessee. I could see them upsetting Florida. They're not going to win the East, and they'll lose their share of games. But I'm real impressed with what he's done. If I tell you I don't think Kentucky will win six or seven games, I believe that. But I still believe they'll upset Tennessee and Florida.
Well, that's music to my ears as a Kentucky grad, you saying they're going to be the surprise team because nobody nails them like Danny Sheridan. Again, you can check Danny out online, DannySheridan.com, certainly at Twitter, at DannySheridan1. And if you're lucky, Danny will reply to you, as I know how much you love.
Wait a minute. What do you mean if you're lucky? I hadn't forgotten where I came from. I applied. As long as it's not an X-rated comment to me, I generally I respond to every tweet I get.
Yeah, I know how some of the internet trolls come out this time of year when you make your prognosis.
Hey, as long as they spell my name right or pronounce it right, I got no problems with those trolls.
I've heard it many times before. Danny Sheridan joining us, USA Today sports handicapper and sports analyst. Let's go to the ACC. Florida State, I know you like in the kind of that tier just below Alabama and Ohio State nationally, but how do you see the ACC shaping up? Because as we know, all the power resides in the Atlantic Division with Clemson, Louisville, and the Seminoles.
That is correct. It's a tough division, probably the toughest division in all of college football. I'd concede that in a second. But you'd have to pick Florida State to win it. They get Louisville at home, a tough game at Clemson, and I don't know. I think they're, I would say, on paper, Florida State, they could hold their own against Alabama. They'll be about a 7-point underdog to Alabama, which is a betting line, not a prediction. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't surprise me if they upset Alabama. And it wouldn't surprise me if Alabama popped them. And as you know, everyone is saying those two will wind up in the Final Four. I don't see that happening, but it could happen. I think the team that loses is going to be in a somewhat of a tailspin. Plus, they'll have to go through their conference. Florida State, clearly the favorite. Clemson right behind them, then a slight drop-off to Miami and Louisville. I can't decide between Miami and Louisville in preseason. Not that it matters, Bryce, if I could decide, but mm-hmm. I see those two about the same.
All right, I know it's looking ahead, Danny, a little bit, but when you look at Clemson-Florida State, it's the game of the year in the ACC, no doubt about it. Game's going to be played in Death Valley. Right now, how would you handicap that? Who would be favored right now today?
I'd say clearly Clemson would be favored, only because they're at home. Neutral field, Florida State would be favored. And, of course, Florida State would be favored at home. But I'd say Clemson by the line, if you were, be one or two, no more. It wouldn't be three. It's a really, really tough game, revenge game, and just a tough game. Also very tough, as you know, to win at Death Valley. But that's the way I would see it. And when Clemson goes to Louisville, because Louisville has such a tremendous home advantage, there's also a little revenge there. Louisville, that game would be a toss-up. Mm-hmm. The only disparity would be when Louisville goes to Florida State, I'd make Florida State at least a touchdown favorite over them. And they also a little revenge game there.
So you think Clemson Price favored in every single game they play this year but one. Is that what I hear, Danny?
That is probably correct. Okay. That would definitely be correct. When you say it but one, which game did I not have them favored in? I haven't got the schedule in front of me. I know they'd be a slight favorite over Florida State. They would only be even. This is preseason. They would be even against Louisville unless either team played better or worse than expected. But what other game did you said one game? Which game was that?
It was the Louisville game that you had as a pick 'em, because I think you had Clemson a 7-point favorite against Auburn at home.
I'd say they'd be about a 5-point favorite. Okay. Initially it was 7, but that's probably a lot of points. Auburn's got a pretty good team. And I don't know. I think Clemson will be ready. I personally think Clemson's going to pop Auburn the first game, but that's me.
And when you say pop, you mean you're talking
– beat them by double yeah. digits. And because last year Clemson knows that probably should – I love Clemson. I mean, I loved Auburn last year. They were getting, I think, 8 or 9 points. In retrospect, if Auburn hadn't played 3 quarterbacks, which was insane, again, in hindsight, Clemson might have lost that game. Was Auburn better than Clemson? No, of course not. But you get them at home, you get them on – hey, you think Clemson – when you win the national championship, you got to be very lucky. I could tell you how many times Alabama's been lucky. I believe it was Clemson and North Carolina State. The guy missed a field goal at the end that I wouldn't have missed. So it happens, right?
Yeah, it sure does. All right, Danny, let's get to your Heisman Trophy odds. You got Lamar Jackson back at the University of Louisville. He'll be back, I don't want to say defending the trophy, because you don't defend the Heisman. Had an incredible season last year. But when you look at the Heisman this year, how do you have the odds? How do you have this thing shaping up right now?
Well, certainly Jackson's up there, obviously, because he's, as you said, he won it last year. Darnold, the quarterback of Southern Cal, will be the favorite, not by much. I'd say 6-1 against him. I'd have Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, at 7-1. Barrett, the Ohio State quarterback, at 8-1. McSorley at 10-1. It's basically a quarterback trophy. You can talk about running backs. Running backs might win it. I won't say a solar eclipse, but running backs don't win it. They might, what, 3 running backs since, I don't know, the last 15 years. You would have a slew of SEC players after that. I would make Scarborough and Jalen Hurts, both from Alabama. Geis, the great running back from LSU, I'd make them next at about 10-1. Then you'd have a drop-off where you Petaway of Auburn, good running back, Chubb, 15-1, Petaway 15-1. Browning, the quarterback, and Rosen, the quarterback of UCLA. Those are basically your top 10 or 15 candidates. And if you asked me to pick the Heisman in the middle of the season, I couldn't pick it. Forget about it now. But those would be the favorites.
All right, Danny, as we wrap up with Danny Sheridan, USA Today sports handicapper and analyst. Again, check him out online, DannySheridan.com, and on Twitter at DannySheridan1. Certainly one of our best friends of the show. It's always a treat to get Danny on here. One of the things that we are treated to this time of year, Danny, Cigar Aficionado magazine, I believe it's right now in July when it drops. One of the things everybody looks forward to, your annual worst 12 to 16 Power 5 college football teams. I'm dying to know how you stacked them up this year.
Well, it'll be out in August, and also have an NFL preview that'll be out in Cigar Magazine. And Price, I don't get any extra money if you buy the magazine, but I do want to plug it. And it's very nice of you to mention my Twitter account, that's probably you like me to get harassed. And as far as the website, no big deal. That was very kind of you. What I did was, and this is no shocker, Kansas are absolutely awful. This will be the first. I've been doing this for about 25 years. The worst 10, then the worst 12. Mm-hmm. This year I may make it the worst 16. But Kansas, I don't recall this, and you might correct me. Kansas going for a three-peat. This will be the third year in a row that I made them the worst team in the country. I have them, I think before that, I thought they'd win one game 2 years ago. They may have, and last year I think one game, and I think they won two. Anyway, Kansas is my top choice. I have four teams in the in my top, say, 15 from the ACC, Boston College, Syracuse, Virginia, and Duke. I don't think you'd dispute any of those, and I look for those none of those teams to win. I'd say six games would be a stretch, and it'd be more like anywhere from 3 to 5, 3 to 6. What do you know something I don't know? Duke could surprise me. Duke could possibly win 7, but I think Duke's looking at 5 or 6 wins, and hey, it's a tough conference, and those teams have not, those four teams, have, with exception Duke, has been up and down. They've not kept par with the rest of the ACC, much like Vanderbilt, even though Kentucky's a surprise team of mine, but the bottom of the SEC has not kept up. Mississippi State, they just haven't kept up with the conference, the SEC. But these four really haven't.
All right, Daniel.
Very good academic schools, by the way, I might add.
There's always that common thread there in the bottom schools, except Kansas is certainly one of the outliers, just a horrible program. I don't think spending all that millions of dollars they announced a couple weeks ago on their football stadium is going to make a lick of difference, Danny, but that remains to be seen. All right, real quick, so out the door.
By the way, they could spend $100 million on their football program. Forget that they can play in a cornfield. You're talking about Kansas, right?
I'm talking about Kansas, the Jayhawks.
Right. Yeah, that's what. Now, basketball, wonderful. We all know that, but yeah. except if you want to get to the Final Four, but that's another story. But no, the coach is doing a nice job. But you know, again, you have to make, whether you like it or not, a commitment to football, and that's big bucks, and that's what Florida State's done. That's what Clemson's done. That's what Louisville's done. And kudos to their administration, because it's not football win-all, but that program, the winning football program at Florida State, at Louisville, at Clemson, is worth, I mean, $50 million. I don't know how much it's worth in the local economy. And then if you win the national championship, it could be worth $100 million, like Clemson did last year. It's unbelievable, the donations. More importantly, the people, the kids that say, you know what? I'm going to go to Clemson. I was thinking about Clemson and XYZ. They just won the national championship. And if you don't think that matters, you look at Alabama's growth in students, and that's your lifeblood.
No doubt about it, Danny. Well, I know you've been taking those riverboats down there on the coast of Mississippi, Alabama. I know you've been taking them for all they're worth, so you can take Feinbaum, our mutual friend, out for a good steak dinner next week down in Birmingham. You got the place picked out already?
What I'd like to do is take Feinbaum on one of those riverboats and throw him overboard, but I think the sharks would throw him back. And you may quote me on that. And as far as me taking the riverboats, I love to shoot dice, Price, but I can assure you these casinos are getting fancier and fancier, and I'm not hurting their bottom line, but I do enjoy shooting dice. That's my only vice that I know of.
Well, my best to you and the missus. Just certainly have a great rest of the summer, Danny. Hope you had a great fourth. Just always a pleasure to catch up with you. It's an absolute treat to get ready for the college football season with you, Danny. All the best.
Thank you very much, Bryce. It reminds me of the seasons here, and I'm like you. I've been counting every nanosecond, looking forward to it. It's totally boring, except for March Madness, but college football is where it's at, and then probably behind that, the NFL.
No doubt about it. Well, good luck with Feinbaum next week, and good luck with the cattle call in Hoover. That's our good friend, Danny Sheridan. You can check him out again on Twitter, at DannySheridan1, and his website, DannySheridan.com. All right, let's go ahead and get out. Overshot this break, but it was worth every minute of it, having Danny on. We'll get into some SEC football. We'll talk about the SEC East coming up here on Straight Up with Sturge. Welcome back in, Straight Up with Sturge. Price Atkinson taking you through 7 o'clock tonight. Danny Sheridan, our man. I cannot tell you how much fun I love talking with Danny Sheridan. The dry humor that Sheridan has is just awesome. It's just awesome. Danny Sheridan is one of my favorite annual guests on this show. I'm hoping we'll get him again. I'm sure if I asked him, I mean, every time I send him a note, he always responds, happy to do it. But he's usually down there on those those river boats trying to take them for all they're worth. So appreciate Danny getting in with us there in that last segment. Tony Barnhart in the first hour. Don't forget, coming up at 6:05, Dave Shore, formerly with ESPN Los Angeles, host of the LA Lakers pregame show, also formerly with the Dallas Mavericks pregame post-game, in-game, all kinds of things. Talk to Dave Short, 6:05, and then 6:35, speaking to Dave's. This won't be Dave, but David. David Hood from TigerNet, going to talk about the opening out in Oregon, that he was out checking out several Clemson targets. We'll get into that with him, and certainly the all-in cookout coming up around the corner 2 weeks from tomorrow. That usually signifies some commitment news from Tigertown, so we'll talk with David Hood there in the final hour. Don't forget, download the brand new ESPN app, folks. Go to your smartphone, search ESPN, take us with you in your pocket, in your car, in your bag, wherever you go. It's sleek, it's hot, it's awesome. Get the latest news. Most importantly, listen live to your favorite ESPN Upstate programming. Download the app on your smartphone and take us wherever you go, around the upstate, around the state, or the United States. We will always be with you. All right. Talked about SEC Media Days coming up next week. Talking season is upon us. And I got to tell you, we just had Tony Barnhart and we just had Danny Sheridan, two of the experts. When they speak, I listen. When it comes to college football, Gray. And I heard something from the two of them that I think is one of the things worth watching next week. And it's a foregone conclusion. We know Alabama is going to be picked the favorite in the SEC West. You've got to live on Mars. If you don't believe it, or else you're an Auburn fan or an LSU fan. But Alabama's going to be picked to win the West, okay? I think we can all agree on that. No doubt about that. But in the East, what I heard from Danny Sheridan and Tony Barnhart on this program in the last 90 minutes is I heard them liking Florida over Georgia in the East. That's something I think to watch, because right now the paper favorite is the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yep, Price, you're right. And I believe it was Tony Barnhart who said he had the concerns about the offensive line for Georgia. I would also lean Georgia, because they have both Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel returning to that team. That's what makes me think they're going to take the East. But Florida, well, we've seen what they've been able to do the past few years and just basically be in the right place at the right time. Well, I shouldn't say that. They made their hard work. They had hard work, and they got it done. They beat LSU at the end, near the end of the season. Didn't think they would get that done, but they did.
One of the reasons, and I look, I'm a big Jim McElwain fan. I think Jim McElwain is he an elite coach? Clearly not. He's not Nick Saban, but I think he's one of the you know, tiers just below that. I think think about the fact that Jim McElwain, what he did at Colorado State, okay, a program that perennially has not won at the level like they did when he was there. All right. Think about what he did in the last two seasons at Florida, taking them to the SEC title game against Alabama without a quarterback. Now, we all know the SEC East is down, and it has been down. But the fact they had zero offense. Now, that can be bad for Jim McElwain, because he's an offensive-minded guy. But they've been they were decimated by injuries yet again last year. This is the year they've got to get it figured out at quarterback. But the fact Jim McElwain took a team largely on the heels of one of the best defenses in the SEC, took the Gators to the SEC championship game.
I thought they would show a lot better than they did against Florida State at the end of the year. That game, what was it, 26-2, the final in that one. I really thought they would show up better against Florida State. Did I think they win? Well, it's Florida State. That's always a good rivalry game. Plus, that's at the end of the season when it's rivalry time, so you never know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, Florida lost 31-13 last year at Florida State. But I still give the edge right now in the East to Georgia, and it largely is because of one reason only. And one, they've got a quarterback situation that's figured out. You know Eason is the guy in Athens. Yeah, Fromm's behind him. Yeah, Bryce Ramsey is a backup plan if you had to get that far. Of course, Georgia did a couple years ago when they started a four-string punter at quarterback. And Fatone Bauta, a punter, four-stringer, which one reason we got Mark Richt fired in the cocktail party against the Gators. They don't have that problem now. I think the fact that Georgia at least has a quarterback situation figured out, they have an offensive line that's going to be better than Georgia's. They don't have the star power at running back. There's no question about it. Chubb and Sony Michel, and then you throw in the guys Holyfield and the other ones behind them. But the duo of Chubb and Michel is, if not the best running back duo in the country, it's top three. You've got a pretty good offensive line, but Florida's got a better O-line, and I think they've got a couple of underrated running backs. Then you throw in the best wide receiving core in the entire SEC, East or West. I mean, I think Florida is dangerous, very dangerous. I think they're going to be – I would put them second in the East. I just think from the standpoint, you've got quarterback figured out with Jake Eason. And then what are they going to do? Are they really seriously going to latch on to Malik Zaire? If it pans out in the perfect world in my eyes, you got to go with Felipe Franks. He's got to be the guy. I mean, he's got to take hold of the job. And then Malik Zaire being the backup to Franks. And then Kyle Trask and Del Rio, whatever they do, they're just toiling around third and fourth.
Yeah, where does Luke Del Rio fit into all this? Like last year, he was going to be the guy.
Well, I don't think Luke Del Rio is going to factor into this at all. I think it's going to be Felipe Franks, which if you're a Florida fan, you want to win the job because eventually you need some stability. You need your long-term answer. I think he is the long-term answer, but he's got to beat out Malik Zaire. I don't think Malik Zaire is going to be the second coming, and next thing you know, he's going to take over, and bam, here goes Florida off to a 10-1 season. That's not going to happen because Malik Zaire has only, I think, started 2-3 games in his college career. Yeah, he's got some experience, but he's not a guy that started, 18 games in his career and coming to save Florida. That's just not going to happen. I still have the belief that Felipe Franks wins the job, but I do think, for me, I think one of the other things, Kirby Smart only in year two, so you got to give a big edge in head coaching to Jim McElwain. I just think the quarterback situation, you've got a clear idea what you're doing. To me, on paper to start, I think Georgia is the favorite in the East. All right, let's go ahead and take this break. We'll talk some more SEC East football when we come back. Don't forget Dave Short, 605, David Hood from TigerNet at 635 here on Straight Up with Sturge. Welcome back in. Price Atkinson and our producer, Grace Sutherland, keeping us straight, keeping us smooth here on Straight Up with Sturge. Thursday afternoon is our fearless leader is out and about is Kevin Thomas. I don't even want to call you the former intern of this show because, I mean, you're a full-blown sales guy downstairs now. Not only a diehard Atlanta Braves, Clemson Tiger fan, I'm a Charlotte Hornets guy. No, excuse me, Atlanta Hawks.
Well, actually, I'm probably more Lakers.
You're a Laker guy, all right? See, I don't know all your teams.
I mean, I'll follow the Hawks and Hornets, the local ties, but, if I had to pick one, I'd go with the Lakers all because of Kobe, I mean, that's like I started young.
See, I've finally gotten it straight. I know you're a Falcons guy. Yeah. You like the Panthers, but you don't like the Panthers.
Not really.
All right. Okay. See, I don't like the Falcons. And by the way, when I was in Atlanta this past, the last 3 days before getting back yesterday, there was no reason at all. And we stayed right near the Mercedes-Benz Dome.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason that the Georgia Dome could not have been renovated and the amenities that they wanted in there. But that Mercedes-Benz Dome looks freaking cool.
It looks great, doesn't it?
I mean, it looks really cool. Besides looking cool, the fact that concession prices are going to be basically like the Masters in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, if you haven't read the stories, I mean, it came out months ago, but like a Chick-fil-A sandwich in there is going to be exactly what you would pay at a Chick-fil-A anywhere in the greater Atlanta area.
Yep.
I mean, it's not going to have a 150% markup, not on drinks, not on beer, not on you name it. I mean, they are going against the grain, which I think is cool. But the look of that building outside was badass.
I can't wait for that place to open up. I'll tell you what, I kind of want to go to a soccer game there, too, when they get that rolling.
That's right. The Atlanta
United. The United are killing it. They're playing in Bobby Dodd Stadium, packing out every single weekend.
Dude, so. MLS is growing in popularity slowly, and mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that – I mean, you kind of have to do it that way to get the retreads right from Europe because that's what the MLS is doing. I mean, they're taking the guys, the John Terrys of the world, the Frank Lampards. I mean, mm-hmm. the guys that are washed up that are 37 that still have star power where we think they're the greatest thing ever to come play on U.S. soil. But the fact is their careers in Europe are over, and the best soccer is in Europe. But they're coming here to kind of get paid, to keep their brand going, to kind of – it's almost kind of double dipping, if you will. You get mm-hmm. – you earn your keep in Europe, and then you come here to get paid to play and be a kind of another star born again in the U.S. So, yeah, I'm with you. And Diesel was saying he was watching some MLS a couple weeks ago. But we're talking some college football, so we're going to get into a little NBA free agency in the next segment because the Hornets, they will have a signing to announce tomorrow. So let's talk a little free agency in the next segment. But one thing we heard so far today, Kevin, is Kevin Thomas joining us in studio now from downstairs. But Tony Barnhart and Danny Sheridan both said, I don't know if you listened and heard them, but they both said they right now like Florida over Georgia in the East, which to me, that's one of the things to watch. Now, at SEC Media Days next week, we can't put our finger on who's going to be suspended, but there's going to be a coach likely come out, or it's going to trickle out that there's been a key player on one team that's been suspended because they where they shouldn't have been over the summer or in the spring. That always happens. But one of the things I'm watching, besides to see if Saban and Finebaum get into another spat and fight again, to see what is the talking point that the SEC wants to push, specifically Nick Saban, but it's to see what happens with the voting in the SEC East. Because the paper, on paper, it tells you Georgia, but what I've just heard, I've heard Florida twice.
You know, it's kind of hard, I guess, to go against McElwain. He's come into the league here, and without premier talent at the quarterback position, which you kind of have to have this day and age, you would think, he's been able to win the East, a couple years here, and it's hard to pick against those guys. You know, Zaire's a good player.
Yeah, but he's not the answer.
Oh, for sure. No.
Felipe Franks has got to be the guy. I can't say he is the answer, but he's got to be the answer.
Yeah, I saw that kid play last year in one of those ESPNU games, and he was unreal. That kid is really good. But like you said, I mean, Georgia seems to me like they'll be the odds-on favorites. What they've got coming back, the talent, what those guys have done there. Seemed like Georgia would be the pick, but Florida, I mean, they're going to have players. You know McElwain will. You always have some speed on defense down there. But that is odd that you've gotten both guys picking Florida today, for sure.
It's caught my attention, and I'm wondering if it's a sign of things to come next week and something to watch. All right, let's go to the guests. Let's go to the phones. Quentin, want to talk a little MLS soccer. Quentin, thanks for holding on. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. So every time you guys talk soccer, even briefly, my ears kind of perk up a little bit. I know you guys want to talk college football, but I just want to correct you on one thing about the MLS.
Yep.
MLS is trending away from getting washed-up players from Europe. In fact, what they're doing now is they are getting players from South America, even the United States, before they reach their prime.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's what they're doing now. And nobody's doing it better than Atlanta United. I've been to a couple of games already, and I'll tell you what, anybody in the upstate who is doubting MLS needs to go to Atlanta, go to Bobby Dodd Stadium. They are selling it out every single time they play. They have made soccer cool. They even play hip-hop music before the game.
That's
They're
Atlanta
tailgating.
For you.
It is absolutely amazing. 47,000 strong every single game. They're playing lights out. You got
to
go.
Quentin, I'm not going to lie to you. I spent the last 3 days in Atlanta. Got back yesterday. I saw Atlanta United shirts all over town yesterday. They had stands.
Oh, I had mine on. I just flew home from Maine. I had mine on a couple of times when I was in Maine.
It had
to represent.
It has me wanting to go back over there to catch a game at Bobby Dodd because I heard there was a lot of buzz about him over there. You're calling in and telling me what I heard on the ground in Atlanta. I like soccer. I'm a soccer fan. I like Manchester United. Yes, I'm one of those, those fans. I like Manchester United because some of my good friends over in Clemson, that's always been their team. That's how they started.
Yeah, but one more thing. The last game at Bobby Dodd is July 21st. July the 29th. July 29th. I would be there, but then September 10th at Mercedes-Benz, they're going to pack out 70,000.
So Atlanta United is playing a game at Mercedes-Benz?
Oh, yeah. They're going to share that stadium with the Atlanta Falcons.
I didn't realize that they were going to be playing
there. Bobby Dodd is only a temporary stadium because Mercedes-Benz Stadium was supposed to be open July 30th, but it got delayed because of the roof. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that is Atlanta United's home shared with the Atlanta Falcons.
If they put those kind of numbers in Mercedes-Benz Dome for Atlanta United games, and not just once, I mean, once will get anybody's attention, right? Because it'll feel like a little bit like Azteca with that kind of crowd. Not the altitude or anything, but I'm talking just crowd size. It'll, I mean, feel like a World Cup. But you put 70,000 there consistently, to me, that's if it happens, I mean, that's going to change the face of the MLS. Forget just Atlanta. Around the league, that's incredible.
It's loud. It's exciting. I'm telling you right now, if you have kids who play soccer, you got to take them.
Look, I appreciate good soccer. I'll be honest, as much as I like the Braves, I would rather go. I love going to watch the Charleston Battery when I'm down in Charleston, catch a match over at on Daniel Island at Blackball Stadium. Mm-hmm. I appreciate really good soccer and to see it in person, because to me, a good two-hour soccer match in a lot of ways is more entertaining than sitting there for 3.5 hours at the ballpark. But don't get me wrong, I love the Atlanta Braves. But boy, some good soccer. Quentin, look, I appreciate you getting in with us. This is awesome. Please call back again. We will talk some more soccer. At least when Sturge will allow me to talk a little football, I will do so, because that's why we never talk it, because I always you don't want to get thrown out the window by Diesel and Sturge if I ever do talk soccer.
Well, yes, I know they've already got plans, I think, to they've got it set up in the stadium where you can kind of drop down that upper deck to cover it up so that you can have the soccer in there and it won't look too empty. So it's going to be a whole mixed-use stadium for football and soccer there at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. And I think the United are right now in fourth place. I think they get to third. They get in the playoffs. So they're right there. Got a good shot at making it to the postseason. So they're playing well right now. And, I mean, it's a good time to go check out some soccer in Atlanta for sure.
Come, I got to get over there. We got to forget going to make a Braves trip to SunTrust. Let's go to Bobby Dodd.
Let's do it.
We won't tell Sturge and Diesel about it, but let's
you and I get them in the car, you know.
All right, let's go ahead and take this break. When we come back, a little free agency. The Hornets with a solid, very bargain pickup will be announced tomorrow, but we know who it is, and we'll tell you about it here coming up next on Straight Up with Sturge. Welcome back in. Straight Up with Sturge. Price Atkinson, Kevin Thomas from downstairs popping up for a little bit, keeping us company. Grace Sutherland on the board as we get ready to take you up till 7 o'clock, 6:05. Dave Shore, longtime NBA veteran, announcer, broadcaster, 6:05. Then David Hood, Tiger Net at 6:35. Going to talk about the opening, some of the Clemson targets he saw out there. But Kevin, you're a big NBA fan. I'm a bigger NBA fan now more than I ever was. All right.
And all your Kentucky guys in the league, man.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there's Kentucky guys, three of them on a team, except now I find out that Darius Miller is going to be signed by the Pelicans. And now we got four in New Orleans. I think we got four in Phoenix. And I think we're down to two in Sacramento. I just can't keep up with all these guys. So the fact I only get to see them play once a year at Rupp, now we got to go to the NBA to watch these guys because I only get them for 1 year. But the Hornets, I really like what the Hornets are doing, okay? Because you're a Hornets fan and scheduled to have Steven Silas, assistant coach, on the show tomorrow. Still waiting to get a time. But he was the head coach of the Hornets Summer League team down in Orlando that just wrapped up, played in the fifth-place game against the Magic today, where Dwayne Bacon, second-round pick, had a big 29.8 rebound affair to cap the Summer League down there. Of course, Malik Monk did not play. But Michael Carter-Williams, we knew that the Hornets were in the market for a backup point. They were probably in the $4 million range they had to spend on one. And they get Michael Carter-Williams, former Rookie of the Year. Last year averaged 6.6 points, 2.5 assists with the Bulls. They get him on a one-year deal for $2.7 million. That's a pretty good bargain. Because what that tells me is, obviously, you got Kemba that's going to run the point. You get Michael Carter-Williams now as your de facto backup point. But Malik Monk can still play some point. I mean, he's a combo guard. He played a lot of point in high school. He's a volume shooter as a two-guard. Darren Collison, who got, 2 years, I believe, $20 million, that was out of the Hornets' price range. I think you would have liked, there were a couple other players that were out there. You know, Sean Livingston was not going to come over for Golden State, but you might be able to rejuvenate a Michael Carter-Williams a little bit like Jeremy Lin, who, you know, we knew how he burst out onto the scene, but his career, a lot of ways, was rejuvenated as a backup point with the Hornets.
Yeah, you know, Michael Carter-Williams has had some decent basketball success here in the NBA so far. You know, he's Rookie of the Year. I mean, came out of the gates firing for Philadelphia, and then had a you know, kind of a couple down years there with the Bucks and whatnot. But great size, and I think he's going to help out on the defensive end a lot too. You know, like I said, with Kemba and Malik being kind of a smaller type of point guard, with Michael being so tall and so big, he's going to help out a lot with those matchups because now everybody's got a 6'4", 6'5", at least guard somewhere on the floor. So on the defensive end, he's a big pickup. I mean, with a 2-point-whatever million, that's the best deal you're going to find around. I mean, these guys are getting outrageous money, and to get him at that price point is just great value in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And, what the Hornets have done in free agency, I don't care if you dislike Dwight Howard. I think the locker room stuff is going to take care of itself because he's been with Steve Clifford before. I've talked to people who've said that the Hornets have had just a locker room the last couple of years that's been as good as anyone they've been around, where guys get along, they're cohesive. You know, Marvin Williams and Kemba, leaders of the locker room. That it's one of the best they've seen in the NBA, certainly in Charlotte. Now you add Dwight, that's kind of that volatile piece. Is that going to shake things up? But from the standpoint, you finally got a rim protector. I mean, as good as Big Al was, what he did in taking up space, he's not a rim protector. I mean, Cody Zeller's not a rim protector. I mean, now you've got a guy legitimately that will play the five. I don't care. If he does gives me a double-double every night in 2 to 3 blocks, that's all I need from Dwight Howard. The way the NBA and the game has changed from the de facto big man where you're going to toss it in the hole and the ball's never going to come out. I mean, it's just the game's not played that way. It's more of a face-up game. But the fact you got a rim protector, to me, is going to pay big dividends for the Hornets next year, who struggled mightily defensively last year, Steve Clifford's calling card.
Yeah, you don't need the guy to score 20 points a game. I mean, you don't need that from him. If he gets 10, 12 rebounds a night, you know, plays solid defense, that's what the Hornets need, and that's the void that Dwight's going to fill. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player in his future. I mean, he is, you know, one of the best defensive centers of all time, really. He's still a hell of a defensive force. Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter how old and how beat up he is, people don't want to go to the rim on Dwight Howard.
Yeah, because that's with Dwight, you can now play, if you wanted to go this direction, you could play Cody at the four if you wanted to. But more than anything, you can play Frank Kaminsky in that stretch four, mm-hmm. is what he's meant to do. A lot better now that you've got a guy that's going to protect the rim, so you, the spacing gets better. I think 3-point shooting is going to get somewhat better. Then you throw in Malik Monk, who can hit the outside shot. We know what Kemba can do. I still think Bacon was a great pick, mm-hmm. in the second round when they get Dwayne Bacon, because you and I were talking earlier. Dwayne Bacon comes out after his freshman year, and our guys over here who are out today vacationing with their feet up and Mai Tai drink somewhere, Diesel and Sturge, they're always taking shots. Well, the guy shouldn't go to the NBA. He needs to come back and get better. Well, a lot of times you do get better the more you play, because you go to college, you play every day, you're going to get better. It's where you're sitting on the bench in the NBA, you're not going to improve. But you know what? If Dwayne Bacon had left Florida State after his freshman year, the guy's a top 20, no worse than a top 25 pick. He's going the first round, guaranteed. He comes back last year. He has a better year at Florida State. He had a clunker of a game. I was talking to Gene Deckerhoff, the play-by-play Hall of Famer from Florida State up in Winston-Salem when we got Sturgis Award that night. Deckerhoff told me he thought that the game that Dwayne Bacon had where he was an 0-for against Pittsburgh, he thinks that cost him millions in a first-round pick, that game late in the season this year. He said he thought that was what did it. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that when you come back and play more games, your game is more exposed. And people, I don't want to say they find flaws, but that's exactly what they do.
Yeah, get more tape on you. I mean, sometimes you just got to go get paid. Like we said, if you're a guaranteed top 20 first-round pick, I mean, I'm leaving every time.
You have to.
Every time.
I get the fact, because if you go back to school, okay, you're going back for one more year. All right, you've got 2 years under your belt of education instead of one.
Still not graduated. What's it matter?
Exactly.
Right?
Now, I'm not saying that not graduating is important. That's not clearly the message here. But the difference between just going to school for 1 or 2 years, what the difference? Millions.
Yeah, exactly.
The difference is millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's the system and that's the situation that we've gotten into now in the NBA, mm-hmm. where it has nothing to do with what you've done. It's all about potential and potential only.
You're exactly right. I mean, that kid's a freak athlete, great basketball player. I think the Hornets got a steal in the second round with Dwayne Bacon.
I agree. Also today, Buzz Peterson, former college coach, named the assistant general manager of the Charlotte Hornets, taking Chad Buchanan's place, who left for the Indiana Pacers. All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. Dave Shore coming up, talking a little bit in NBA with Dave Shore in the next segment here on Straight Up with Sturge.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.